You were born with individual strengths and a unique purpose. Don't let fears, false beliefs, or life's happenings diminish your influence. It's time to live and lead for impact. Host Kirsten Ross, expert of transformation, will help you defeat the drama and overcome the trauma that can stop you in your tracks. You'll gain focus, find confidence, and take bold action. Unleash passionate, purposeful you. Let's go.
Welcome to Live and Lead for Impact. I'm Kirsten Ross, your host, and this is episode number 159. Thank you so much for joining me today. I have an amazing woman on today who is making a wonderful impact in this world. Her name is Lynn Lindberg. She's the creator of Couch to Active. And boy, do we need that right now. She is an award-winning author and host of the podcast by the same name, Couch to Active. Lynn helps people finally conquer the couch and become the active person they've been longing for. Her heart is focused on the people who face unique health and personal issues that make exercise more difficult than the average person. Thank you, Lynn, for joining me.
Oh, thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Yeah, and I'm so looking forward to hearing, I just love hearing these stories about, you know, what has motivated you through your life experiences to make this impact. And I know so many people, I mean, there is so much focus on getting active and taking care of ourselves and self-care and all that. And it is more challenging for those if we're having personal issues or if we're taking care of those that are having some challenges. So I'm really looking forward to hearing your story and what you're up to.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I am just so glad to be here too. It's my pleasure. The story of Couch to Active is really kind of interesting in that it, like most of us, right? It came out of our own pain that we had. And then later I realized I wasn't the only one who had this issue. Is I was working in corporate, had been there 20 years and was just struggling with that desk job of the, you know, long commute, high pressure job at work, long commute home, feeling exhausted. And on top of that, I was a single mom for 10 years of it. Mm-hmm. And when we go to work, that concept of exercise and living healthy is still not normal, which is crazy, which was so crazy to me. And I would try to exercise during lunch sometimes, but it just felt like I was the weird one, you know, doing that. And I know, what are you doing? You're not eating lunch with us. You're exercising because
mean you're walking around doing the stairs?
Yeah,
what are you doing?
Exactly. You're better than us. Exactly. And I later found out that actually it wasn't so much that I was the weirdo and is that 80% of us in the United States, according to the Centers for Disease Control, 80% of us aren't getting the minimum exercise needed to help stave off preventable diseases. Mm. And I know our normal is so whacked out for this. And I just couldn't stop thinking about it because my brain knew I was one of those people where my brain knew at my heart, I'm an entrepreneur, but my paycheck came from Fortune 500 companies working for them. So I spent years and years high performing for Fortune 500s, feeling stuck and feeling like I wanted to break out. I would literally have dreams about being, we can Freudian diagnose this one if we want. I would have dreams about being a bug stuck in a jar.
And oh, my gosh. Was your bright light shining in there? Were you at least a firefly?
No, I was just confused. I was like, why am I stuck in this jar? And so finally, long story short, one day I was out for a walk and I realized, oh, my gosh, Couch to Active. This is it. The reason we aren't exercising has nothing to do with accessibility to gyms or personal trainers or another potion pill or program. It's we just need help getting off the couch. Mm-hmm. And we're not literally on the couch. I know that. We're not slumped over with our bag of potato chips and beer and remote. You know, that's not who we are, but just getting out and getting going. And so I got the business license, I got the domain name, and I started building the business and registering the trademark. And then literally 3 weeks after I started that process, boom, my corporate job laid off our entire department.
Mm.
I know.
Talk about giving you the push towards your heart.
Oh my gosh. It was like the universe saying, okay, Lynn,
this
is what you're going to do now. And so that's really where it all began, is from the beginning of that. And then I could talk on and on, but if you have another question for me, go ahead. And
well, I'm loving your story because I'm so, you know, I'm connecting with so much of it. It's funny. I didn't share this with you, but when I was in corporate America, I became a personal trainer. I'm that same entrepreneurial spirit. Yeah, this is way back in the day.
Yeah.
And the name of my company was Dynamic Life Designs. Now, I didn't continue on with that, but I was trying to, but I was still working full time, but talking to them about, can I go part time? And, you know, because I wanted to help people get healthy and get moving. And I would light up when I was thinking about anything about, you know, just getting people moving and feeling better. Mm-hmm. So I totally get it. I get it. I love that the universe kind of gave you that little push, because sometimes we need the little nudge.
And we do.
Sounds like it was perfect timing for you. So describe the impact that you're making now. I mean, I know that it's what the genre is, but so what kind of services are you providing? What are you doing?
Ah, great, great. So the bottom line impact is helping people who feel like they've been left in the margins been marginalized by the fitness industry, which is most of us, helping to help them see exercise in a new light, see it in a way that they can bring it into their own life. And so I originally started as a coach consultant working with folks one-on-one through a program. Mm-hmm. And it's an 8-week program. And it just helps them with all the mindset pieces that they need to do. And then later I got kind of restless, because like most of us who start a new business and we, you know, want to make an impact, we have 10,000 ideas in our head all at once, mm-hmm. right?
Entrepreneurial spirit is just a part of
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
Somebody rein me in.
Exactly. We can get it done. We're good at getting stuff done.
Wear a lot of hats. I can do it. Yeah.
Yep, exactly. And so part of the story is after 10 years of being single mom, I did get remarried 4 years ago. And my husband came home from a ski trip once. And I said, hey, honey, guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to write a book. Mm. And he's like, no, I wanted to write a book. And I'm like, well, I'm going to beat you to it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so that's the book I have now, Couch to Active. And it is the whole coaching program in that book. And my background is education. My degree's education. My 20 years in corporate is change management and education, which is helping people make a change in their life, mm-hmm. even if they don't want to, and framing it in a positive way. So I have all those skills of that I used for the book in terms of how does the human brain learn? How do we change?
How do you get around your amygdala?
Yes.
That darn lizard brain that doesn't like change.
Exactly.
Even when we want it.
Even if it's good change, that lizard brain says, danger, danger, it's different.
Right. And danger. All the excuses that it sounds like it's a warning, but no, it sounds so logical.
I know, exactly. And then if you start talking to your family and your friends, they get nervous and scared. And what are you doing? And this is different. And who are you? And so I went through all that. So essentially the impact is helping to move the needle on exercise. And I do that by helping people redefine what exercise is, because the last 60 years, we've been hit with so much marketing messages about what fitness is, mm-hmm. pretty much anything that'll open up your wallet and, you know, a program to buy, right?
Yeah.
That we've lost touch with what exercise is, and I help re-engage people with movement as exercise and breaking through their stereotypes of who does what kind of activities so they can be free to do what they love and they enjoy. So that's the impact we do.
So I have to ask you. So I shared with you that I'm in the process of, we just sold our house. I didn't share that we don't have a place to move to yet, which is going to get interesting here in a couple of weeks. But so I'm in the process of packing and moving, and I've been running up and down stairs with boxes and packing and bending. And is that my exercise?
Yes, that counts.
Yay!
Absolutely, that counts.
I've been moving.
Absolutely, and pick up those boxes and pick up the heavy ones safely, of course, right?
Yes.
Safely, of course.
Yes.
Because whenever we do something we don't normally do, that's when we're injury prone. But yeah, that absolutely counts. I was out weeding with my, convinced my 15-year-old boy to do yard work with me. I was so excited. And
anytime you can get a teen to hang out with you, that's good. And especially if they're working with you. Yes.
If you can get a teen to hang out with you and it's not in front of a screen, it's like, hallelujah.
Yes. Talking and working. Oh, my mama heart.
Yes. But it is interesting because I've had clients, one just a few weeks ago, who she struggles with migraines horribly. Mm-hmm. And I really encouraged her to think about what kind of movement can you do that would work when you are literally housebound because the migraines are so horrible. And she bought a recumbent exercise bike, so one you can sit down on, and she does her cardio sitting on this bike. And if her migraine gets bad, she's home, she can hop off. And when she feels good, she can get on and do this while she's watching Netflix, which she does a lot of.
That's great. Yeah. So fit it into your life. You don't have to go somewhere So you have the book, and then it sounds like you're doing some individual training. Are you doing that online, in person? Are you doing speaking? What other ways can they access you?
Three ways. One is the individual one-on-one. So if somebody says, hey, I really want to do this. I want to make this part of my life once and for all. And a lot of times they've had a compelling event. A parent has died, or they got a health diagnosis or a health scare is usually the case. Then I work with them one-on-one through the program. And it's intense, not time-wise, but lifestyle change wise, and work with them for 2 months through the program. And then they stay with me for 2 years of maintenance, which to make sure it sticks. Yeah.
Great. Well, that sounds like great support.
Yeah. And then the other one is once a month on the first of the month, I have what I call Cactive Club, which is just a tongue in cheek. I took the word couch and active, smash the word couch, and now we have Cactive.
Okay.
Because you got to laugh, right?
Yes, yeah. Absolutely.
You got to have fun because there's enough about life that's not fun and is hard.
Yes.
So we meet once a month as an accountability group. And then, yes, I do talk to groups. Actually, I love talking to small businesses, large businesses, groups, and we do. The specialty I have is actually a lesson on breaking barriers, which translates very well into corporate businesses or sales, especially, and along with active lifestyle. And so it's really lifestyle coaching that I do as a little side gig for corporate groups. And it just jazz. Yeah. Yep.
Great.
So those are the main ones. Oh, and the podcast.
Oh, right. Yeah. Yes. You have a new one. So you have your original. So let's talk about your original podcast, and then we can talk really quickly about your new cool one that you were sharing with me.
Sure. So everything Couch to Active. I was really fortunate that everything is Couch to Active, T-O Active, not the number two. And that's a podcast where really we just get to dive in more deeply to Couch to Active topics. And I can bring in interesting folks. I brought in a 40-plus fitness guru, brought in a woman from LA called Bevan the Queer Fat Femme. And she does a fat kid dance party. And it's all about reclaiming your space in this world as someone who is fat. And even just the word fat scares people, and redefining that to make it not such a scary thing. So it's, we dive deep because I'm not a big fan, like most of us are becoming not really a fan of tweets and social posts. We know life is so much deeper than that.
Yes. Yes. Can't fit it into 240 characters. A good conversation.
Nope.
Yes.
Nothing meaningful comes out of that.
No. Good divisiveness, though. But that's a whole nother topic.
How long you got?
I know. I try not to, it just comes up. But yes, you are right. So tell me, as you think back to this work that you've been doing, what is one story in particular that pops into your head that really fires up your passion? Just an impact story that you have.
You know, I think so many. Mm-hmm. This one's a little bit weird and random, but it was such a visceral experience for me that I've just hung on to it. And I think it's that concept of when I was single mom, long commute, stressful job, working for a startup company, before the era of Me Too. So mm-hmm. I had, that I was dealing with, you need to work this account because you have a short skirt and good looking legs, or you can't work this account because men don't respect women. These men on this account don't respect women, that environment.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I remember the time I was, and I worked in human resources, by the way. And I was, I remember the time they were like, that dress isn't tight enough. It's not touching your body anywhere. Oh, wow. Yeah. Thanks for the input on my wardrobe there.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. So you get it. You understand. And, mm-hmm. and I remember, just wanting to be more active myself and knowing I was successful in other areas of my life and being frustrated by it. And then listening to fitness experts saying, it's all about priorities. And if it was really important to you, you would get up an hour earlier. And I remember that would actually make me angry because I thought they have no clue what I'm dealing with. And all the way to the point of, there was one morning where my son was sick and I had to be at a really important client meeting trying to close a deal. And just before I left for work, my kid barfed all over his bedroom floor, the carpet. Mm. And I'm in my suit and I'm already sleep deprived. It's only 7 o'clock in the morning. I have to be out the door by 7:15. And I was like, I changed my son's clothes really quick. I took a wet towel and threw it on the barf on the floor and out the door to work. I was like, it would just have to wait till I got home.
Thank God you had someone to stay with him.
Yes.
That's my thing. Because I was a single mom for a long time too. Yes. Uh-huh. So I know the life for sure.
Oh my gosh. Seamless daycare. My kids are now high school, getting themselves to school, and hallelujah. It is so awesome.
And I've been remarried for over 7 years and I still thank my husband. Thank you so much. It's so wonderful to have someone else like help, I don't care if it's weeding or taking out the garbage or whatever. It's like all the weight's not on my shoulders. So yes. And mine are, I'm an empty nester now. But they live together. They're away at college and they chose to live together, which is awesome. But so anyway, I'm sorry I jumped in there. No. I'm just saying, I hear you.
Well, people relate. People relate. And it's not to say that, I don't want to put down the quote unquote fitness industry. And I think there's a lot of good going on. And everyone who's a fitness expert I've talked to, for the most part, their intentions are good and their heart is good. We're just missing reality. We're missing the fact that not only that people are busy, they really are busy and they're not using that as an excuse,
Right. And we do care about this. It's just how, there's only so many minutes.
Exactly. And the concept of how much time you spend watching TV, just swap that out for a workout. That's probably the only downtime people get. It's not a one for one trade. You can't. Yes. Right, so, so all of that misunderstanding of the general population and the lack of compassion for what people are really facing today is what fuels my passion in a big way.
Well, I really like Yes, your attitude, your philosophy around it, for sure. See, and again, I am so grateful that you're telling me my packing, because now I don't have to feel guilty that, I mean, and I started at like 7 o'clock this morning, and I literally stopped 10 minutes before you and I hopped on this interview. I'm a little sweaty right now, I'm not going to lie.
Well, that's
my exercise.
And it's awesome. I mean, if you look at 150 years ago, when obesity wasn't an issue, and I know this is much more of a complex, nuanced topic, but if we want to nutshell it down to a tweet, 150 years ago, gyms didn't really even exist.
Right. Daily life was active.
Exactly. Yep.
You had to go get your water, and you had to hunt your food, and you had to...
Exactly. And that's one of the things that's a real aha for a lot of people, is the concept of when people start getting down on the obesity epidemic and talking about how people are just so fat and lazy and they eat so much and they should just eat less. I have a whole different attitude around that, because I've not only done a ton of research, I've also spent weeks at a time at extreme weight loss resorts with people who have 100 to 300 pounds to lose. A lot of time really looking at the heart of this issue. And I really had a big aha that people today are doing nothing different than we did 150 years ago. We're eating the food available to us, and we're being as active as we need to survive. Nothing's changed. It's just the activity level we need and the food available to us has changed so radically that now we have to use self-discipline and grit and put activity back into our lives, whereas before it was just a natural part of what we did to survive.
Exactly. So yeah, our food's not as healthy anymore, and it's a lot easier to get.
It is. Yeah. Not as healthy, easier to get, easier to be sedentary. Mm-hmm. But I tell you, I think
you're
most...
onto something here. I am in total agreement with you.
Most folks who have 100, 200 pounds to lose, when you do the science of what it takes to gain 100 pounds in a year, it's not much. It's not a self-discipline thing. It's not a you're a gluttonous person thing at all. In fact, most people who are 100 to 300 pounds overweight, they could tell you how many calories are in things, and they probably have used more self-discipline than somebody who is not overweight 150 years ago. So, yeah, it's interesting.
Okay,
It is really interesting.
I love, you're pinging my brain today, because this is, I have not heard this, but it does. It makes so much sense. I mean, like, intuitively, I knew, you know, I've kind of from the back of my head thought this way, but I love how you're packaging it and, you know, describing it. Yes. Yes.
Well, and the beautiful thing about it for me is it really is helped foster compassion for the real struggle it is. And when you frame it away from this false idea of lack of self-discipline and really frame it to more of a realistic view of what it is, and you can have more compassion and more love for everyone, that's always a good thing.
Well, and then your clients are having more love for themselves instead of beating themselves up.
Yep.
And applying those labels to themselves, which does not necessarily motivate you to, treat yourself better.
Exactly. Exactly. That self-talk. Whew, that's a big piece.
Okay. So what's the biggest internal or external challenge that you've had to overcome, and how did you overcome it?
Well, for me, I would say that when it came to starting up a business, it was that I was very typical. It was self-talk. And especially as a woman, I had to really work through the who am I to step forward and do this? Who am I to write a book? And I actually had a business before this called Audio On, and it's actually still alive, barely. That was a voiceover service, so I still do that on the side. But it failed, and I think it failed. Well, it failed to thrive because I didn't have the mindset that said I could actually really do it. So I did it for 4 months, freaked out, needed a paycheck, and went back to corporate. And so that was a big piece, is I had to do massive amounts of mindset work and visualizing myself as somebody who could be this and do this. And then I had to learn that my family and friends had to get used to me being this new person in this new space. And then all of a sudden, not all of a sudden, after a couple of years, it just became normal. And now this is who I am. This is who my family sees me as. And it's as if it was always this way. So nice. That would be my encouragement. Yeah.
You have to maneuver through all that stuff. Yes. Your uncertainty, other people's uncertainty, and how, like, yeah, who the heck are you? What the heck are you up to? I don't understand.
Yes.
The time that you're not feeling super certain either.
Yep. Yes, exactly. And part of it was I had to learn. I got some really good coaching about really, even though I'm really, really excited about my business, I need my family to be my family and my dear friends to be my dear friends, because that's precious. Mm-hmm. And so I was very proactive with my family and my dear friends. Don't be buying stuff from me. Don't feel like you have to listen to every podcast. If you want to, absolutely. Mm-hmm. But you are my VIP. You are precious to me. I can always get clients. I can't always get dear friends and family. And that was really releasing for everybody to feel like, oh, okay, then I don't have to listen.
No pressure. Yeah.
No pressure.
If it makes sense. Come on, and I'm happy to, you know, have that new relationship with you in addition, but yes. But if it doesn't make sense, no. Yeah, I really like that.
Yeah, it was good for me. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So how do you stay motivated and moving during those tough times? And I'm sure they still come.
Yes, they do. Well, they do. Last summer, I was diagnosed with fibromyalgia, which is...
Sorry to hear.
It's a chronic, just in a nutshell, it sounds like you may know it, but it's a chronic condition where you essentially feel like you have the flu all the time, but you don't, and your joints and everything hurts, even though you have no fever. And then I also had some, without being too TMI, I had some major GI issues for about 4 months and finally got all that diagnosed and all settled out. But all of last fall was tough. I slept 12 hours a day. Thank goodness I could. at the expense of my business. But one thing that thankfully helped me was, because my job is to coach and help people through their hard times, I spent a lot of time really thinking about that concept of life isn't perfect. And sometimes we think, oh, I'm going to get my workout routine all figured out and ta-da, forever, you know?
Right.
And then life changes. You like me, I had health issues, or like you, you're in the middle of a move. And then when you move somewhere else, you've got all that disruption to deal with. And then you're going to have to figure out how to get that exercise going again. And, and so to realize it's normal, and setbacks are normal, and you can not see them as a failure, but see them as something to just overcome and keep going with compassion. Mm-hmm. That's how you do it. So
I love that too. So I don't know how often I find myself telling clients, like, give yourself grace. And I think you're saying the same thing, like, it's compassion for others, but compassion for ourselves as well. Yeah. Because too often when we're in that learning phase or going through a tougher time, you know, you don't set the realistic new expectation based on current circumstance, and you sit in frustration of what's going on that you wish were different. Mm-hmm. And then you're frustrated with yourself because you're not handling it as well or keeping up with the same, you know. And it's like, give yourself grace. Why are you wasting energy on beating yourself up?
Yeah,
and,
exactly.
Yes, that compassion for self. So important. Yes. We waste so much time and energy on beating ourselves up and feeling frustrated with ourselves.
We do. Yeah. We do. Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Flexibility. You got to be flexible.
Exactly. Our joke around the house is, I'm going to shame you for shaming yourself, you know?
Oh, yes. So of all, okay, you're giving great nuggets and lots of stuff to chew on today. So what words of wisdom do you have for others who are working to make their impact?
You know, I would say that if you're out there now and you just know in your heart, you want to make an impact, you want to do something, but you're frustrated because darn it, you've got rent to pay and groceries to buy and a real job and, or maybe not a job. And it's just frustrating as heck because all the self-help gurus are telling you, follow your dreams, manifest it, you can make it happen. And I spent years and years and years so frustrated, feeling trapped by my job, but knowing I needed this job, not seeing the way out, angry at myself for not having the guts to just make the jump. Mm-hmm. And then when this actually, and I had one, you know, audio on one business that didn't even thrive. And then when this one came and it happened and it worked, it actually ended up being the very best right thing that I was quote unquote stuck for 10 years. Mm-hmm. Because that is what's really fueled my passion. That's what gave me the cash to be able to do it in the first place and self-fund it. And that's what's really given me the technical skills and the credibility to be able to do it. And I wouldn't have that if I hadn't gone through that time. So I would say for those who say, yeah, that's me, I want to make this jump, but I just can't. It's okay. Can't doesn't mean you're denied. You may very likely have it still coming in your horizon, maybe even closer than you can see it, but you just can't see it today.
Mm-hmm. I always say too, when we start feeling stuck, just simply change the language that you're using. I choose. Because that is not happening to you. You're not a victim. I mean, you are choosing to keep your job. You are choosing to start this other thing while you keep your job. You could quit and just go for it, burn that boat, but you're choosing. You don't have to. Harder, scarier, white knuckling it, all of that. But you are choosing it. And there's something so empowering in just changing that language a little bit and choosing your current circumstance while you kind of work to figure out how you can make your big impact. Wow. Well, I appreciate so much all the words of wisdom that you've shared. And again, the new thought process that I have, and I'm giving myself even more grace today. I love your philosophy about working out and fitting it in and just around the lifestyle that we have now. So if you want to connect with Lynn, her website is Couch to Active. That was me looking out of the side of my glasses there. Couchtoactive.com. And that link will be at the show notes for today's episode. So if you go to defeatthedrama.com, click on the podcast tab and go to episode 159. I'll have some additional information about Lynn there and also the link to her website. And hey, when you're there, why don't you shoot me a quick message? I'd love to hear from you. Is there some kind of challenge that you're dealing with while you work to make your impact, whether it's life or work or the impact you're working to make? Let me see if I can help you defeat some drama and make your big impact in the world. So thanks for joining me today. Go find Lynn and reach out and get off that couch and start getting active so you're healthy and can make your impact in this world and make it a great day.
Woohoo! Thanks. Bye-bye now.